as foreigners in Eretz Yisrael, when one reads Parsha Shlach, I think all of us get a bit concerned. Chazal talk about Eretz Yisrael being Niknes B'Yisurim. If you really want to become part of it, you got to pay. There are difficulties, there's hardship. And this parsha makes us tremble. Because complaining about Eretz Yisrael is a terrible thing. But the truth of the matter is that it is not limited to Eretz Yisrael. Although it seems that it's a more opportune place for one to run into trouble, Hashem's involvement in Eretz Yisrael being so apparent and so different than the rest of the world makes living here, on the one hand, something that is challenging and demanding, and on the other hand, because Hashem is here and the Hashkacha is more apparent, one has to be careful how he thinks and how he speaks. But it isn't limited to Eretz Yisrael. And there's something very important in terms of an attitude that we have to pick up in the Chet HaMaraglim, where they went wrong, and how it does apply to us. These were big people. And the Pasuk says, the way Chazal interpreted, they turned into Kofrim. Rashi says they said, Chas V'Shalom, that the Balabayis, referring to Hashem, cannot take Kalev Misham. He won't be able to take out of there his own belongings. Hashem won't manage. That's what it says. Hashem won't manage. Hashem won't manage. So although this isn't absolutely necessary in understanding Shlach, what is by far my favorite piece of anything on Parsha Shlach is the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes at the beginning of the Parsha asks, what does Hashem want from the Meraglim? The whole thing was a charade. This was a plot to get them. Why? And the Sfas Emes mentions, on every level of existence, Klal Yisrael of that generation, the Dor HaMidbar, could not come into Eretz Yisrael. He cites sources from Kabbalah. The Dor HaMidbar could not enter the land. It was predestined. They couldn't. You couldn't go directly from Egypt into Eretz Yisrael. Ibn Ezra says that al pi derech hateva, people who grew up as slaves in Egypt were not emotionally equipped to go and build a land. Hear this? Ibn Ezra says, these are people that grew up as slaves. To go and fight off the enemies and build a land, take over and build a country, that is something that is physically impossible. You grow up with a slave mentality, you will never be able to develop the kind of strength of character, the confidence to be able to go and take over a country. Ibn Ezra. So the Sfas Emes asks, what do we want from these poor Meraglim? They're charged with having been responsible for keeping that generation in the desert for 40 years. Because of them, they all died out in the desert. What do you want from them? The Dor HaMidbar couldn't enter the land. So the Sfas Emes says, that was their mistake. Because they knew that Al-Pi Kabbalah they couldn't enter the land. And they understood that even physically these are not the people to build the land. They knew on every level of existence, the Dor HaMidbar, they could not be the ones entering Eretz Yisrael. And they surrendered to that. That is sin. You mean you give in to reality? You surrender to eternal mediocrity because it says so? That was their sin. You hear this? On every level of existence, from Kabbalah to psychology, on every level of existence, there was no way they could enter the land. And if you're ready to accept something like that, that is sin. And that's the real reason they didn't enter the land. So watch Pshat. Sounds great. So inspiring. Come on. What does it mean? Yeah, we can do anything. Hey, who are you fooling? We're talking about the Dor HaMidbar. We're talking about people who saw miracles. We're talking about people who experienced Kriyas Yam Suf. The Yam Suf, the walls, the trees, the streams of water. They saw how everything can be torn to pieces. They understood that the Jew has a relationship with Hashem whereby Hashem is on your side. So, no, we're not done. Hashem is on your side means that if Hashem has you triumphantly marching out of Egypt, experiencing the revelation in Har Sinai, and then going towards Eretz Yisrael, that Hashem is not playing any games. If Hashem says, go, travel, we're going to Eretz Yisrael, and you're left with Akasha. The kasha is that on every level of existence, I know that's impossible. So what do you think Hashem is doing? And this was their mistake. They had a problem. Hashem is telling them to do something, and yet everything they know about existence, including that which they learned from Hashem, this is after the Torah was given, which includes all of those secrets that the Sfas Emes is telling us about. They understood that according to everything Hashem had taught them about life, about the inner meaning of existence, all of that said that they couldn't go in. And yet Hashem said, come. So there are two ways of translating that. Either Hashem was setting them up for the greatest miracle ever, not only tearing nature to pieces, but tearing the metaphysical nature of existence. The secrets of existence, tearing them to pieces too. Defying MS as Kabbalah presents it. Defying reality on every level. Either that was going to happen, or Hashem was playing a game. It was one or the other. There are only two ways to read this. Either Hashem was going to do the real impossible, the impossible on every level, or He was playing a game with them. He was setting them up for failure. They chose the latter. And that's terrible. And that's the sin of Parsha Shlach. What did the Jews really think? Hashem said Eretz Yisrael was made for you. The Meraglim come there. What did they think? What did they think? They come there and there are these giants walking the streets. So what did they think? Hashem was lying to them? They honestly thought they were going to come and get slaughtered by these giants? Well, they said so. So, we've been taught that the Meraglim's claim was not really that Hashem couldn't do it because Hashem's a weakling. That's too far-fetched. These were the leaders of Klal Yisrael. These could not be people that turned into Apikorsim because they really thought Hashem was limited. They had another problem. They come to Eretz Canaan and they see giants. They see that conquest of Eretz Yisroel will have to be miraculous because physically we don't stand a chance. They realize that living in Eretz Yisroel calls for miracles. They realize that this is a country like no other place. Limtar hashamayim tishte moyim, when the pasuk says that you've got to live on rainwater, pshat means that all the water we have here must come from rain. There's no other source. Not only that, but it's got to be from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, because the land doesn't store water very well. A reality that we live today too. This is representative of everything that goes on here. For all the years the Jews weren't here, nothing grew. A couple of grapes. It was desert. It is a place that exists and thrives on miracle. Alright, so what was the problem? The Meraglim understood there are no freebies here. You got to earn miracle. So they said, living in the desert, we're living on miracle, but it's not so hard to earn your miracles in the desert. What are they doing all day in the desert anyway? What were they doing there? There ain't much to do except for learn. What can you do in the desert? Learn and eat man. And complain. Living around the Mishkan, what did they do there? They understood they're going to have to come to Eretz Yisrael, build the country, till the soil, lead normal lives, and maintain a level that they'll be deserving of miracle? That was too much for them. It's impossible. Hashem won't be able to pull this off. Why not? Because we're not going to produce. We're not going to deliver. We won't be worthy of it. Their claim was, Hashem is setting us up for the impossible. This is what the Sfas-Emes is saying. The way they read it was Hashem was promising us everything with unfulfillable conditions. We were doomed for failure. And where'd they go wrong? Because Hashem's not like that. If Hashem is promising the impossible will happen. You cannot surrender to simplistic reality. Not after Hashem makes a promise. You can't go and say, well, listen, we're normal human beings, we'll never be able to do it. If Hashem gives you the mission, then you can do it. Hashem is not playing games with us. What is so terrible about speaking negatively about Eretz Yisrael is that if this is the land Hashem created for the Jew to live in, that doesn't just mean he put this plot of land down and since then everyone does with it whatever he feels like. If Hashem says this is the place for the Jew and that there is hashkocha, there is clear, direct involvement, divine providence in Eretz Yisrael all the time, it means that the bureaucracy is not an accident. It is deliberate. Nobody tells Hashem how to run Eretz Yisrael. If the culture of the country came to be on the basis of a combination of where it's situated and those who ruled over it, then that was no accident. Then Hashem wants us today to come to Eretz Yisrael and accept the challenge. There are no accidents. Here he is the boss. He will never allow anyone else to take over. Eine Hashem Elokecha Oleho Mereshishana Vadachrishana. Everything is just what we need. Every bit of hardship, every bit of discomfort, every bit of fear. And of course, every bit of that feeling of this is home. Every bit of that feeling, this is not like anywhere else. And this is where we belong. That's also there. But once again, this isn't limited to Eretz Yisrael. We accuse Hashem of playing tricks on us all the time. We accuse Hashem of assigning us the impossible. We learn the mitzvahs, and we say they couldn't mean what they say because that's too hard. I was once sitting in a shul on a Friday night and some rabbi doctor got up to talk about the parsha, and it was Parsha's Kedoshim. And he starts off and says, the Torah writes, Kedoshim to you, you should be a holy people. It couldn't mean that. In his words, that is a gzeira she'ein rov hatzibor yicholin lamod bo. That is a commandment that the majority of people will never be able to fulfill. He therefore said that the mitzvah must mean something else and cited sources. It means to answer to Kedusha. He's an Orthodox shul yet. Nobody laughed. Although I think when asked, anyone would have said, you don't talk like that. Deep down, I'm sure that that's what the Balabatim felt like inside. They read mitzvahs. If the mitzvah is to go shake a lulav, so you shake a lulav. But when mitzvahs demand a kind of lifestyle, attitudes, being honest with yourself, really understanding other human beings. When it comes to these mitzvahs, people say, that's for the tzaddikim they tell stories about. That's not for us. That's not for every Jew. So what's going to be? Yeah, we'll have to say vidui about it every Yom Kippur. We get up there, we'll burn a little, but ultimately Hashem understands. And this is the general attitude. Ultimately Hashem knows that these demands are unrealistic. It's the same attitude. What's scary is that when you walk around with such an attitude, Hashem says you can't enter the land. When you surrender to realities, in quotation marks, when you surrender to what seems to be the norm, when you forget that if Hashem makes demands, that means He knows we can fulfill, then you can't build a country. You can't maintain a country. That's a goalless mentality. We're always davening for Mashiach's coming, the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. We're davening for a Geula Shleima. In the Yud Gimel Ikrim, there's not only belief, not only animamin, but there's an expression of b'chol yom achakelo. The Jew, as a believing Jew, the Jew, if he's not an apikoris, necessarily has a craving for Mashiach's coming. Any Jew that understands why there was creation in the first place appreciates that until there is Geula, this world is not accomplishing what it's here for. Until there is Geula, there's no Kvod Shamayim. Until there is Geula, Hashem is in Geulus. This world was created for all of humanity to appreciate what Hashem does for them, and He gives and will give more. Until there's Geula Shleima, the majority of the world walks around eating of Hashem's world and not knowing He created it and not knowing why. We need Geula so badly. Until there is Geula, the world is a wasteland. Do we believe we can bring it? We tell ourselves. The Tanoim didn't bring it. The Amoraim didn't bring it. The Gaonim didn't bring it. The Rishonim didn't bring it. The Vilna Gaon didn't bring it, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger didn't bring it. So what are we doing? So why is Hashem telling us that we can? That's a joke. It's not for real. It's not serious. So we're Meraglim. We don't know what it is exactly that you got to do to bring the Geula. But whatever it is, it must be in our hands. And maybe it is that after the Tanoim and the Amoraim, and after all these great people, what they did was not for nothing. It's there. And maybe on their shoulders we can do something. And maybe it's because the world today is a much more difficult place than it used to be. Humanity is so much more into comfort than it used to be. Maybe because things are so much more confusing than ever before, that everything we do right is worth so much more. Maybe it is. And maybe if we push ourselves, maybe we can attain what the previous generations didn't, even though they were so much wiser and so much more pure. Who knows? Maybe when you struggle and get a pshat in a sugya, you're doing for all of existence what Rabbi Akiva Eiger did when he wrote this brilliant shuva that we can't even understand. Who knows? One thing's for sure. Hashem's serious. He knows who we are. He created us and our problems. Gave us a mission. For every one of the mitzvahs, it's got to be doable and for real. And for us, now, today, in this day and age, not everything b'zman hazeh is midrabbanan. The Torah commands us to be big people. And we can do it. We may not know what we're going to look like as big people. We don't know. We may not look like Rabbi Akiva. And find out that we're great. But one thing we do know. If you give up, you ain't going to get anywhere. If Hashem demands greatness, it means He has made it possible for us to be great. And if Hashem says that when we attain it, the world is going to change, then Hashem means it. And we believe Him. He is limited by nothing. This is not a charade. This is not a plot. On the contrary, He's offering opportunity. And we cannot limit ourselves and chas v'shalom, never, ever, ever give up. There is no apikorsis like giving up. Does that mean fantasize? No. All it means is work. But, forget but. Just work. You never know what we're going to turn into. And you never know what's really expected of us. And for all we know, we little nobodies can accomplish bringing the Gula Shleima in here of Yom.
Thank you very much.
You've got to get there. You've got to get the whole series.